confess with the real sign that there is only a little time. Must I pray for baptism at the end of the civil war? But the truth and it's okay, but the world is the key. I have been in person in success, but the world is the key. Look at some of the things that comes up at the same time. Yes, I'm sure my name is not part of my person. But the upagati punsa has a name by the name. So thank you for coming here and allowing me to speak to you on Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we're going to be reading from eighth canto, chapter 6, the demigods and demons declare a truce. We'll be reading from few verses. Oh, the mark is in the wrong place. 16 to 19, yes. This is our God. So, thing on the board is text number 19. Let's see. Yes. Can I read from 16 and then we'll read text number 19 together. Text number 16. Sukadev Goswami continued, when the Lord was thus offered prayers by the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they approached him. Therefore, in a deep voice that resembled the rumbling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands. Text number 17. Ekai Bhusavastas means Yokai Sasa. We have taken a stone iron, some Jamaibi. Translation, text number 17. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the demigods, was capable of performing the activities of the demigods himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows. Text 19. Shri Bhagavan Udacham. That's one of us. No, I think it's 19. Shri Bhagavan Udacham Abhimana Sambha. He divine Bhastam Shuta Bhagavan Sambha. Shri Bhagavan Udacham. Translation, text number 18. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other Brahma gods, please hear me with great attention, for what I say will bring good fortune for all of you. Text number 19. Just execute. Don't have with dependence. Don't and the asuras. Tavat so long. Sangli a truce. Vidyatam execute. Kalena by a favorable time. O Kalvyena, by Sukracharya, I am digitally receiving benedictions, timely with them, Yava, as long as Va of you, Bhavaha, good fortune, Atmanaha of yourselves. Translation. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. Purport. One word in this verse has two readings, Kalina and Kalvyena. Kalina means favored by time, and Kalvyena means favored by Shukracharya. Shukracharya being the spiritual master of the Daitas, the demons, and Daitas were favored in both ways, and therefore the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce for the time being until time favored them. Om Jnana Dhimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Mutanjana Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudha Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being followed by time. So here Prabhupada says that in this verse the words Karuna and Karuna are important. Karuna means favored by time and Karuna means favored by Sukracharya. So in this three planetary system there is always a competition between the demons and the demigods. So the demigods are the rulers of this three-planetary system, which is we call beginning from Padama to the middle planet, Bhumloka and Swarloka. These are the areas of domination for the demigods. But by the influence of time, under the direction of Maya, sometimes they are overthrown by the demons. So when we look into the causes, there are so many causes of this distrust of the demigods. But mainly the cause of the distrust of the demigods is due to wrongdoing. This wrongdoing comes in the form of aparada. When they offend their guru or some superior personality, they lose their powers and then the demons take advantage of that. And then again, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So here also is the same situation. Now when we look into the history of these demons, we realize that they are a byproduct of wrongdoing. For example, the devas, the demigods and demons are the sons of the same person called Kashyap Muni, with different wives. So the main wives of Kashyap, he has many wives, maybe about 13. He is a big polygamist. In Africa, we have people have 20 wives. 30 wives. So he had 13. He's not a very big polygamist. So amongst the 13 wives, there are two famous ones, Aditi and Diti. So Aditi is the mother of the demigod sent by Indra. And then Diti is the mother of the demons. So it so happened that Diti, being infatuated, approached her husband at a wrong time. has been told him that this twilight period of the day is inauspicious. It's a time when all the ghosts, hobgoblins, who are the followers of Shiva, come out and perform their pastimes. So it's not the right time to conceive a child. But she insisted, and finally the husband consented. As a result of that, she gave birth to very powerful demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And these demons, they caused a lot of problems for the demigods. So the same father who gave birth to, and his wives gave birth to, both demons and the demigods. So from this point we can understand that by wrongdoing, the consequences can be very severe. So these things were understood in Vedic times as well as also in other communities. Like amongst the Europeans, you found that in Greek civilization, it was based on two conceptions, Demis and one's Demis, which means to do that which is lawful, and then there's Tabu, which means action that is unlawful, action that could cause social disaster. So when you study advanced civilization, Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, you found that these people were powerful because they were principled. They had certain rules. They were governed by certain rules and principles. So that way they were very powerful. So in a similar way, here we see that in Vedic culture also, people are very powerful because they were governed by certain rules, they were principled. When they broke those rules, and then the consequences were very disastrous. So here we see that the demigods now, because of the deviation of deity, they are suffering from the attacks of the demons. They can't really do their services nicely, which is to govern this whole planetary system on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So from Bhaktivaibhav, we get to know that this whole creation is just another manifestation of love by the Lord to the living entities who have desires to fulfill. And then this creation, there are three major things. There are so many things. We can see that there are so many living entities. And there are many different aspects of this creation. We see trees, we see mountains, and so many things. But according to Bhaktivaibhav, there are three main things. One is that there's Shiva or Jivas. We see nature and the controller of both. So the controller is the Supreme Lord. And then there is Jiva, who is trying to control material nature, but he is unable to do so. So when he becomes unsuccessful, and always fall back to his original shelter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those are the demigods. Whenever there is trouble, they always seek the shelter of the Lord. The demons, whenever they're in trouble, they always take shelter of their intelligence. They regroup and strategize. Prabhupada in the ninth canto, he explains that there are two types of strength. One is called devika, which comes from transcendence. Another type of strength is that which is organized by man through his intelligence. And then Prabhupada explains that when you compare the two, devika, or the strength that comes from transcendence, always succeed. The example Prabhupada gives is that of the leela of Lanka, how Lord Ram attacked Lanka. Lord Ram was a prince, a crown prince of Ayodhya. He had a big army in his disposal. But he did not go to Ayodhya to bring his army. He just collected a bunch of monkeys and bears from the forest and empowered them to go across the ocean and conquer the mighty Ravana. On the other hand, Prabhupada explains that Ravana was such a powerful Kshatriya with powerful soldiers, fully equipped with modern weapons. But the monkeys, they just had trees, they were carrying a bunch of trees and some stones. And Ravana was surprised. All my soldiers have been killed by a bunch of monkeys and bears. He couldn't understand it. But they were being empowered by the Supreme Lord, Ramchandra. So in that way, in the material world, those who take shelter of the Lord when in trouble are the devils. But the demons, they always try to organize things by their own material intelligence. So in that way, we see this throughout Bhagavatam. So here the Lord has come, he is speaking to the demigods. He's saying that this is not the right time to fight with the demons, because they are being favored. They are being favored by who? By time, but also by Sukracharya. So the Lord cannot intervene with the blessings of the Brahmins. But he is hinting that you wait until they offend the same Brahmins, and then they will lose their power, and then you can attack them. And then it happened just like that. Exactly like that. So when they offended the same Brahmins, and then they lost their power, and then they were taken over. So that way, time and tide, as Prabhupada used to say, waits for no man. Sometimes we think we have time, but actually we don't have time. At any moment, we can lose out in our battle with the material energy. So it's best to utilize time always in glorifying the Lord. Ayam Vrati Vaipunsam Udyam Astam Cha Asu Tasyabdi Yasamunita Uttamasloka Vartaya. Bhagavatam explains that time, I mean the sun, as it rises and sets, it diminishes everyone's lifespan. Like, in the material world, people are always happy when the sun rises. They say, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. There's no good morning. Good evening, but the sun is diminishing their lifespan. That's because they understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, no, this is not good morning, not good night. The sun is taking away your life. You are saying, oh, chai, good night. You see? And therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam, which has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, knowledge, etc., has come in Kali Yuga to help these people who are simply thinking that we are having good morning. Therefore, says Anatta Parshamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Adhoksaji Lokasya Janatu Vidus Chakri Satvata Samitam, that the miseries, Anatta Parshamam, miseries that are superfluous to us, the miseries that we do not invite, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotion service. Therefore, the learned sage Vyasadeva compiled this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Absolute. Why? Because Yashyam Vaishwamanayam Krishna Paramapurusa Bhakti Upayati Pumsaha Soha Moha Bhayapaha. By giving oral reception to this Bhagavatam, what happens? Loving devotion service to Krishna will sprout up from our hearts, and then when it comes up, it extinguishes the fire. Which fire? So-called moha bhayapaha, the fire of lamentation, illusion and fear. Yes. So the demigods were also frustrated after being taken over by the demons. They were feeling this fire. So in previous verses, they've been praying to the Lord, chanting many beautiful slokas. Now the Lord has come with the solution. He's telling them, the demons, right now, they cannot be conquered. They are unconquerable. Why? Because they are filled up by time. You just wait until time. Time unfavors them. So that way, the Lord is the only one that can give the solution to the problems of this material world. Otherwise, people are simply thinking, good morning, good night. But actually, there is no good morning, there is no good night. The sun is just decreasing their lifespan. But the devotees understand this. Yes, Uttamas look over there. That except those who spend time, utilize this time, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, otherwise, as the sun rises and sets, it diminishes everyone's lifespan. So that way, this is the understanding that in this creation, this jiva, We are achievements, us, material nature, and the controller, the Supreme God. But unknowingly, we are thinking that we are in control of material nature. Or we can enjoy material nature as much as we can. But it's not like that. This material world is just a blessing to us by the good Lord. But we are not in control. Prakriti priyamanani gunani karmana sarvasaha ahamkara vimudatma kattaham iti maniti. Prakriti, the material nature, is in control, not us. But it seems as though we have some control, according to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So here, the truth that the Lord is suggesting is a compromise in the most undesirable situation. One has to understand what is to be done, what's not to be done. That's pure intelligence. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that intelligence, in order of goodness, is meant to help us to understand what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. So here he is advising the demigods. Just like we see also in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, during the wedding procession of Vasudeva and Devaki, suddenly an Amen spoke from above and said to Kamsa, who was happily accompanying his sister and brother-in-law, that you're such a fool. You are busy entertaining these people, but the first, the eighth child of this sister of yours will kill you. He was surprised, he was shocked. Immediately, his so-called affection for his sister went out of his system. He said, huh? The eighth child of your sister will kill you. Let me kill her now.
You know?
So this is a material world, because the demons and materialistic people, they think that this creation is for me and life is about me, it's me. Oh, this child will kill me. Immediately it is sought. And Vasudev, who is another diplomat, said, no, Kamsa, you're such a great hero. The whole world seeing your glories as a pious king, how can you do such an abominable act, killing a woman? You know these things very well. Don't believe in some omens. Don't be. It may not happen. If she does give birth to children, I will bring all those kids to you, and then you can do as you please. Well, Kamsa was pacified. Oh, Vasudeva, you're such an honest person, I really trust your words. And then later on, Devaki gave birth to the first child, the second child, the third child, and Vasudeva was just taking them as an offering to Kamsa, so Kamsa was killing them. So this is a risk that Vasudeva took to save his wife. And then later Krishna appeared. And then he requested that he be taken to Nanda and Yashoda's place, Nanda Bhavan, across the Yamuna, to Mahavan forest. And then Vasudeva brought a baby girl. Immediately, when
Vasudha praised that girl on the lap of Devaki. She started crying. It's a plan of the Lord to awaken Kamsa.
All me to Kamsa heard a voice and he came. He was with the intention to kill that child. But of course the child slipped from his hand and told him he was such a fool. The child that was going to kill him was born somewhere else.
So this is time now.
We can't really control destiny or time.
So then,
before that, Devaki tried three things according to Prabhupada. One is called Dana, which means repression. She tried to directly oppose Kamsa. That you have killed so many of my children, leave this one. This is a baby girl. It's not a boy. You cannot be killed by a girl. That is repression. And then another thing that she tried, Prabhupada says, she tried a compromise, shama. That she said, actually, it's not your fault that you have killed my children. It was due to providence. And that didn't like also with Kamsa. He was red, angry. He was red hot with anger.
So then Devaki tried the third thing.
It's called Dana, asking for charity.
Please give this child to me as a gift. Don't kill her.
That didn't work also. Srila Prabhupada explains that in politics, these are tactics. That if you can't conquer the enemy and then you come to a compromise. So we see that also with the demigods, that they advise by the Lord to adapt to another means, which is truth. Let's get together, let's work together. But it was just a trap. So then these demons agreed. And then the net, the ocean was churned, and then the net came out.
This is a very amazing lila. The Lord incarnated more than once. So the incarnation of the Lord that brought forth nectar was called Dhanvantari. He came out of the ocean in a beautiful form, holding this jar of nectar. So the demons, because they were in front, they immediately grabbed and snatched the nectar from him.
Oh, the demigods were set. We've been working so hard, this nectar now is being taken by these demons. Demons are very agile. We've cheated these demigods.
And then suddenly another incarnation came into the scene, Mohini Murti, very beautiful. And she looked at these demons and said, "You guys, you're so strong and handsome. Would you like some eye association?" Said, "Oh yes, try." "So yeah, it's cool. Why is that?" "Oh, that's nectar. Oh, I'd like to have nectar, yeah. Give that nectar to me." "Oh, you can." "I said, David, you can have nectar." And she took the nectar. Said, "Okay, you sit in queues, I will serve you this nectar very nicely." And the demigods, because they were enchanted by Mohini, they said, "In a nice queue like how we are so obedient when it comes to prasadam." And then she bypassed them and went to the demigods and distributed nectar. Suddenly they realized we've been cheated. So that's how the Lord cheat materialist on behalf of his devotees. Yes, he cheated them. Before that he appeared as Kurma to be used as a pivot
for Mandala Mountain. So the Lord, to save his devotees, it takes so many incarnations. Bhavati Esha Satvena Lokan Vai Lokan Bhavanaha Lilavataro Anurvato Deva Tulyang Naradishu. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.3.4 explains that, says, Loka Bhavanaha, the Lord of universes, maintains all the planets. In doing so, he assumes many incarnations and performs pastimes to reclaim those who are in the mode of pure goodness. So the Lord is always assuming incarnations whenever his devotees are in trouble to deliver them or reclaim them. So we see in this Lila also, he has come after being prayed for by the demigods, and he's telling them, join forces, make a truce with the demons. Now they are favored by time. And the Brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty, headed by Shukracharya, you cannot conquer them. But later on, when the time is right, you will conquer them. So in that way, is Loka Bhavana, is the maintainer of his planets. So when one understands that, he can gain peace from the pangs of material existence, according to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So I will request to end here. There is some, maybe 15 minutes if you have some questions.
Okay, let's take the Mataji first. Hello.
Indra was puffed up and he was arrogant and he offended Durvasa, and it all started the distress. So what leads one to the stage of arrogance or puffed upness? How can one avoid that situation?
Thank you very much for your question, which is very beneficial to all of us because we suffer from the same disease of the demigods. According to Queen Kunti, she says that the reason for arrogance and pride is good birth, education and wealth. So the result of that, it becomes very difficult for someone who is intoxicated by good birth, good education, to fully surrender to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is called Akinchana Gocharan. He becomes the property of those who are impoverished material. So the demigods, because of their powers and beauty and all that, sometimes they become overly intoxicated to the exclusion of great personalities. That is common amongst the conditioned living entities. That when we are successful, we identify, just like there is a story, in Greece there was one temple in Delphi. So this temple was learned by Pujaris who were ladies. But these ladies were empowered, they were able to tell how a person will fare in the future. Many, many great, powerful Roman kings like Adrian, they went there to know how they will succeed in the future, even Alexander.
So one king came.
He was coming from one country called Lydia. He wanted to know also, or he thought that he could attack Persia, but he wanted to know if it was the right time.
So one of the ladies there gave a very good advice that if the king goes to Persia, upon crossing the river, his army will be destroyed, but he will come out alive.
So he thought, oh, I will come out alive. That means momentarily the Persians will obstruct me, but I will win. And he immediately organized his army and started for the journey to Persia.
But when he came to cross the river into Persia, the Persians knew he was coming there. They destroyed his army and arrested him. Before that, he was visited by wise men called Solomon to impress him about his wealth. He opened his treasure house to see all the gold and the diamonds that he had collected in course of his time. Solomon didn't say anything. This king was a knight. He said, are you really saying, are you not impressed by my success? Solomon said, no, because you are still alive, I do not consider you successful. If you die successful, if you die owning this world, and then I will consider you. So when he was caught by the Persians, the king of Persia decided, oh, this rascal has been harassing my country for many years. I want to punish him nicely. Build a fire around him. We want to do a barbecue of him. In Serbia, they call braai. We're going to roast him alive. So then they put wood around him from his feet up to his chest. So then the fire was lit from his toes. As the fire started burning, he remembered, I was such a puffed up fool that Solomon told me that I could lose my wealth at any given moment. Because he told him, life is like a marathon. We are still running. If we are successful today, do not celebrate and think that you are a successful man, because you still have more years to live. Anything can happen. So he started calling very loud, Solomon, Solomon. And then another king was thinking, who is this Solomon? And he told his soldiers, put up the fire. I want to hear from this king. Who is this person that he was calling at his moment of death? So this king explained, I was such a fool. I thought I had conquered so many countries. I was successful. I invited a wise man to my kingdom, not to listen to him, not to receive wisdom, but to show off how successful I was. And he told me, as long as I'm alive, I'm not a successful man. A successful person is a person who dies successful. Now I'm remembering him. This king said, he was right. I'm also punishing you because I'm saying I'm the conqueror, I'm the lord of Persia. You are my enemy. Actually, no one is my enemy, it's just your mind. I may also end up in the same situation. Please take me to this salon. I want to learn this wisdom from him. So in that way, by one instruction, Solomon delivered two kings from Maya. So in that way, when we take instructions from the Lord and representatives of the Lord, we will be able to bring about solutions to the problems of this world. But if we are puffed up, and then it's very difficult to take advice from pure devotees or great personalities, and then we will miss out. So that's the reason why Indra offended
perhaps he was thinking of his success, which is temporal. Okay, no more questions. Thank you very much for talking to me. Hare Krishna. Jai Shiva Prabhupada ki. Grandhara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yesterday was a long day, 3 classes.